4 years after President Barack Obama signed an executive order telling agencies to settle on one standard for handling unclassified information, agencies are still applying their own labels and their own rules to withhold that information from the public. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports.
The point was illustrated on Thursday with the release of a new congressional investigation on the Transportation Security Administration. A report by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee found that TSA had been routinely misusing one of its own information labels, sensitive security information. In some cases, manipulating the definition of SSI in order to withhold documents that posed no threat to aviation security but were merely embarrassing. And in other cases, releasing documents without consulting its own security review experts. Congressman John Mica is the chairman of the Government Operations Subcommittee.
Well, the TSA administrator has the final authority to determine whether information is classified as SSI. Under the regulation, the administrator must submit written explanations of the SSI decision to the SSI office in a timely fashion. Unfortunately, repeated failures by TSA officials to submit written determination supporting the release or withholding of SSI caused a rift between senior TSA leadership and the SSI office. This rift resulted in an inconsistent application of the SSI designation. Such consistency, unfortunately, is also shown to be detrimental to the process of protecting sensitive transportation security information.
The committee found problems with TSA's use of the SSI designation dating back to at least 2004. The agency says it's made several changes in recent years, including the issuance of an SSI handbook and updated training for TSA staff, and has refined the program further in response to the congressional inquiry. Anne Marie Launce is the director of TSA's Security Services and Assessments Division.
In TSA, I can say that I'm very confident that the new measures we have put in place have significantly improved the way we handle SSI. It is much more consistent. There is a memorialization of any and all SSI reviews that are done. It is comprehensive in the training. We can customize it depending on a various program, so they get a more in-depth understanding of what SSI is and is not.
Irrespective of whether TSA has fixed problems with that particular designation, the SSI program in its current form isn't even supposed to exist under the 2010 White House directive. The executive order was a response to a proliferation of what the National Archives and Records Administration has termed a confusing and inefficient patchwork of agency-specific practices for tagging and protecting unclassified information. At last count, federal agencies were using 117 different markings, from the pervasive for official use only designation to limited official use and law enforcement sensitive. Many of the labels were mandated by Congress or by formal agency rulemaking, but many others have no legal basis whatsoever. The Obama order effectively told agencies they were no longer free to make up their own rules for what's sometimes called the pseudo-classification of information. It created a single label, controlled unclassified information. Unclassified data that agencies have legitimate legal authority to withhold would be covered beneath that umbrella, but extra legal labeling schemes were supposed to go by the wayside. The order also made clear that the new CUI label does not trump the Freedom of Information Act. Patrice McDermott is the executive director of OpenTheGovernment.org. She says the order itself was a major victory for open government advocates.
So the agency policy markings are to be ended. The question for us is when. Regrettably, here is where the rub comes in. The executive agent expects the CFR, which is now at OIRA and about to go out for agency comment, to become effective in April 2015. Then begins an extended process in six-month segments of agencies only then beginning to develop the budget, IT, and training toward a requirement of which they will have been aware for almost 5 years. Agencies will not begin to implement CUI practices or to phase out obsolete practices until April 2016. And not until 2017 and beyond into the next decade will agencies finally begin to eliminate old markings and assure use of only new markings that are on the registry. The executive agency indicates an expectation that this process will extend into 2018, 2019, and beyond. well beyond the end of the current administration.
McDermott doesn't fault NARA, the agency in charge of creating a master registry of what constitutes legitimate CUI and what doesn't. Rather, she says federal agencies appear to have done all they can to slow the process down and hold on to their current information management practices for as long as possible. Indeed, when NARA first invited agencies to make their case for which of their information labeling habits should make their way into the final CUI program, it got 2,200 separate submissions, according to John Fitzpatrick, the director of NARA's Information Oversight Office.
And it affects a level of latitude they felt they had to do as they pleased, or wished, or felt was most effective for them.
Right.
And instead, this umbrella of constraint was, I'll say, beginning to be spread. So 2,200 submissions, many of them the same types, personnel information, privacy information, budget information, but many of them simply my agency directive says I can do this, and so they submitted it. Well, that's below the threshold. That did not make it into the registry.
Yep. The current version of the registry is still relatively expansive. It includes 22 categories and 85 subcategories of unclassified information to which agencies could apply the CUI label. But we're still several years away from the registry actually taking effect. 4 years after the executive order, the Office of Management and Budget is only now reviewing a draft regulation that formally eliminates agencies' ad hoc practices and moves them to the common CUI framework. Fitzpatrick says the delay is somewhat understandable. The government holds a vast amount of unclassified information. Some of the safeguards to protect it were indeed created out of whole cloth by internal agency policies. But NARA has found 314 separate laws, regulations, and government-wide policies that have been enacted over the years ordering agencies to treat unclassified information in certain ways. Unpacking and recreating that system, he says, is no small chore.
So that is a lot of information, a lot of agencies that are authorized to withhold this information. And so our program is created to identify which those are so that you can know which information types aren't, and then to establish handling and marking procedures of a uniform nature rather than the 100-plus marking types and bins that information had been put on and labeled to have a uniform control marking. I am sympathetic to the amount of time that this is taking. When you understand the scope of this and how many agencies have this type of information, to try to understand all of their practices today in order to create a uniform baseline that all will observe, it is a very time-consuming effort.
During Thursday's hearing, members of Congress were not very forgiving of the delayed implementation of the CUI program, and some questioned whether it makes any sense in the first place. Congressman Daryl Issa, the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, is highly suspicious of the basic notion of creating categories of information that are not classified but still need to be protected from public release.
The CUA Council, how do I know it's not a CYA Council? I don't think you should have a right to any of them. I think the whole idea that there's anything below secret is hogwash. I think the idea that other than personally identifiable information, meaning information is sensitive because it doesn't truly belong to the government to release, is there really any other area that people get to see without a background check, people get to handle without knowing whether they're pedophiles, whether they're drunks, whether they're going through personal traumas in their lives, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, we have no security on them other than they're a federal employee or a federal contractor. They get to see all this information, and then when Congress subpoenas it, we don't even get it.
ISA also sees a conflict with the Data Act, which Congress passed earlier this year and the president signed earlier this week.
That act intends on making the vast majority of information that exists in our databases searchable, addressable, downloadable, which would include a system in which, because of the strength of the metadata, you'd be able to exclude personally identifiable information. The intent of it would be to open up all of government, to make it you able to say that a particular data point is not to be released, such as personally identifiable information, locations or time, certain things like that, predictive information about events that have not yet occurred. If we're going to open that up, we can't have these levels of classification because it will essentially close systematically all of these databases.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.